Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. This Sunday is the last Sunday in Epiphany, and that's usually the transfiguration of our Lord. And it kind of helps segue into Lent, which begins this Wednesday. Transfiguration is a great thing to start or to end Epiphany with, because as we transition into Lent, we're going to see Christ's glory. When he goes up to that mountain, he's transfigured before them, and we see the Son of God shining bright. That's what we're going to look at today, as it gives us comfort as we go into the repentant time of Lent. So we're going to open with a hymn that's called, Jesus, Take Us to the Mountain, and that's where we're going to sit today as we marvel at that light, just like the disciples did. It's hymn 712 in the blue songbooks in your pews. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, now let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, before the suffering and death of your one and only Son, you revealed his glory on the holy mountain. Grant that we who bear his cross on earth may behold by faith the light of his heavenly glory and so be changed into his likeness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As always, we're going to take a look at three scripture lessons that help show us God's glory. And in the first lesson we see from 2 Kings chapter 2, we see how in his glory he took the prophet Elijah up to heaven. We'll see Elijah a little bit later in the gospel lesson. From 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. The word of the Lord. We'll now hear a song by the adult choir called "Christ Upon the Mountain Peak." The second lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we see Paul defending the gospel that we preach. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects one of the great takeaways we have from the Mount of Transfiguration. "Alleluia, a voice came from the cloud. 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Alleluia." Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. Our worship services all focus on the gospel lesson, and you can see that this morning as we go to that Mount of Transfiguration where we see Christ's glory and where God gives us a very important encouragement. From Mark chapter 9. "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. If there are any children in the congregation that want to come up and meet me at the front step, you can come up and do that for a children's message. Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. You still waking up? Maybe a little bit? Yeah? It's okay. It's about to get pretty bright in here because we're going to talk about something pretty cool. Can I get a volunteer, though? What I want you to do is volunteer. If you think you can do it, Wyatt, do you think you can do it? All right, stand up. You see that little window back there on the wall? It's got blinds on the other side. Do you see that window? You think you could walk to that window, touch it, and then come back? All right, go ahead. Halfway there. All right, well done, Wyatt. Yeah, not too bad, huh? You can sit down. Can I get another volunteer? You want to do it? Come on up. I know what I want you to do is I want you to walk to that window, I want you to touch it and come back. But close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes. Put your hands over your eyes like this. See if you can make it. Go ahead. No peeking.
No peeking. All right, I chose the right actor. That's good. Good job. Keep going. Can you make it? All right, come on back. Come on back. Oh, he's persistent. Getting closer. Oh, suddenly he found it. Okay. You can open your eyes. Come on back. He did pretty well. Was he peeking? Maybe a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe he just kind of knew. He kind of ran into something, knew, and then he turned. Well, it's good. You did pretty good. You did a lot better than some people do out there. Do you guys know what I just described there? What was the difference? It's the difference between being a believer and being an unbeliever. As believers, we have the light of Christ. We have spiritual sight. We're able to see. Unbelievers, though, sadly, they're walking around blind. It's like they're walking around like this. So you and I, who have that light, who are able to see, what do we do then? What do we want to do? We want to uncover them. Yeah, we want to take those hands and throw them off so that they can see, right? That's what we do. And that's called sharing the gospel. Simply telling people what Jesus did. That helps uncover that. Through faith, the Holy Spirit works. Bam, now they're able to see. But you know what? You and I, sometimes we don't do such a great job of that. Sometimes we have some fears. What fears might you have if you want to share the gospel? What?
You might not
want
to meet the new person.
You might not want to what? Okay, it might be scared to meet the new person, so it's somebody you don't know, so you're a little scared. What else? Good.
Might not want to, like, communicate with others.
Might not want to communicate with others, so maybe you're a little shy, and you're not, you know, maybe you don't want to do that. There are lots of different fears that we can have, right? And so what we want to do, though, is always remember what Christ did for us. We, maybe if we don't remember it, we used to be walking around like this, too. But then all of a sudden, God, through faith, through the gospel, bam, now we can see. And so we always want to remember what Christ did for us. Let's pray and ask for some help. Jesus, please forgive us for the times when we don't share your gospel. Give us the strength, Lord, calm our fears, and forgive our sins so that we can be reminded of how much you love us, how much your light shines in our life. And Lord, give us the strength and courage to share that light with others. We ask this in your name. Amen. Good job, guys. You can go ahead and be seated. Well done. We'll continue with hymn 97.
Thank you.
The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is yours from Jesus and through God the Father. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I just read for you, so I won't reread it at this time. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your glory. Amen. See this? This represents someone you know. But we'll get to that in a little bit. For now, it's just a work light. I bought this work light the other week because I needed to get some work done in the backyard after 5 p.m. It gets pretty dark in the evenings. It gets dark early and it gets dark fast at this point, right? So I bought this work light. Now, when you get a light, you get it so you can shine that light on something that needs to be seen. Pretty simple concept, right? So, when I'm working in the backyard, what I like to do then is cover that light. No, right? What is that? That doesn't make any sense. I think I saw some confused faces right there, like, wait a second, what? No, you don't cover up that light. You let it shine. That's what it's meant to do. That's why God created light. In creation, God, out of darkness, said, let there be light. And whew, there was light, and it shined, and that's what it was meant to do. It was meant to shine. You don't cover up that light. But did you know that in the Old Testament, Moses did cover up that light a little bit? At the end of Exodus, we hear about Moses. He wrote down the Ten Commandments of the law a second time. He went up to the mountain, and the glory of the Lord passed by in front of him, and he came down from the mountain, and his face was shining so bright with the glory of God, it was reflecting it, that people didn't even want to come near him. So what he had to do is he had to put on a veil to help cover up that light. 1,500 years later, the Apostle Paul uses that account in Exodus as a picture of the glory of Christ. But he says that the glory of Christ is far more glorious than the glorious of the law that Moses had. That law eventually, that glory from Moses' face eventually faded. The glory of Christ never fades. It always shines and shines brightly, right? That's what light is meant to do. You saw that light and you heard about it there as I read the gospel lesson for today. The transfiguration of our Lord. That's where the Lord in all of his dazzling brilliance revealed that, yes, he is the Son of God. He shone brightly, dazzling white, so white that Mark said it was whiter than you can even bleach it. I always love that description. Whiter than anyone could ever bleach it. And no, this is not a Tide ad. Okay. So dazzling and bright was his glory that Peter was stammering on, we'll build a shelter for Moses who was there and Elijah and from our first lesson who was also appearing with him and for you, Jesus. Apparently he wanted that light to remain. He didn't want it to end. But it did have to end for a little bit more, just for a little longer yet. Jesus reveiled it in his human flesh, because from there, what he's going to do with the rest of his ministry is he's going to focus in on Jerusalem and what's going to happen there during Holy Week and eventually his suffering and death. That's why Transfiguration Sunday is such a perfect segue into Lent. The one glory leads into the other glory. And from there, it leads to the ultimate glory. The glory of the Transfiguration gives us comfort as we go into the glory of what Christ did on the cross. And from there, that leads us to the ultimate glory of 3 days later when he rose on Easter morning. It's all the same glory. That's the gospel message. And it shines bright, brighter than anything in this world, brighter than you could bleach it. So if our Savior is so glorious, and God is so glorious, and the gospel is so glorious, why are there people out there who don't know the light of the gospel? Why are there people who can't see that light? The Apostle Paul talks about that in our lesson for today. Paul says that it's veiled. Veiled by whom and to whom? Paul says if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's unbelievers that have had their minds and hearts veiled. It's the devil, the god of this evil present age, who veils it. He wants them walking around like they're spiritually blind, in total darkness. I can't turn the church into total darkness this morning. Lots of light shining right now. So close your eyes. Imagine that darkness. If you need to, use your hands to cover them up. That is what the devil wants unbelievers to wander in. Forever. And sadly, because their hearts and minds are veiled, that's where they want to wander too. Okay, you can open your eyes. And you can open your eyes spiritually too, because God has done that for you, right? You and I are not like those unbelievers, thankfully. By God's grace, the Holy Spirit has put light in your heart. You are shining bright. This work light represents you. This work light is like 500 watt. But you're like 500,000 watt. Thanks to the glory of Christ, that's what you are. And even though you have the light of that glory, the devil, though, still tries to pull you into that darkness. And he doesn't do it in one fell swoop most of the time. A lot of times it's thin veil by thin veil. Indifference to God's word. Irresponsibility, laziness, self-focus, idolatry of earthly things. The devil whispers things into our hearts when trials and tragedies strike, and we listen. We get self-focused. Think it's all to our glory. Pretty soon, things aren't shining so brightly, are they? Pretty soon, things in your life, your attitudes, your emotions, your actions, they get pretty veiled when it comes to the light of the gospel. When that happens, you can see that we can walk around almost as if we're blind sometimes. Maybe it's not spiritual blindness, but maybe more like spiritual blurriness, right? Like your glasses are fogged up. Or maybe it's like me working in the backyard with dim lighting, trying to figure out what to do. Or here's another picture for you. It's like me walking through Gideon's room at night, tripping over all of his toys, right? We can get like that in our lives too, where the light of the gospel isn't shining, we get caught up in all these little things. Life starts to make less sense in a lot of ways. And when we're walking in darkness like that, what the devil wants to do is he wants to point you to those little sparks of fading light that you might have in your good works. Like, how do I know where I'm going spiritually? Oh, well, look at these awesome little good works I do. I must be pretty cool. I must be a really good master of my life. Sadly, when you're doing that, you're not focusing on the light, are you? It's just the devil slowly but surely pulling you and trying to envelop you into that darkness for good. How dark we can become without the light of Christ. How veiled we can let our hearts become sometimes. Thankfully, we don't preach ourselves. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. How lost and how dark we were without the light of Christ when we didn't have faith. But God, just like he did at creation, said, "Let there be light," and in our hearts shine the light of Christ's glory. Only three disciples saw the light of Christ's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, but you've seen it too. Maybe not with your physical eyes, but you've seen it spiritually, thanks to the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel, right? You've seen that glory of Christ. He, the Son of God, image of God, perfect, holy, and yet he came humbly veiled in human flesh, but you still saw his glory. You still saw it in what he taught and what he did. The Pharisees had their works and law-based teachings, but he out-teached them, out-taught them, overcame their teachings. He did all of these little things that showed the glory that he had inside of him. He took time for a blind man, took time for a leper, took time for a grieving mother and widow. He took time for a sinful, adulterous woman, a greedy tax collector, and on and on. And when he was teaching, he might as well have had like beams of light shining out of his mouth with every word, because all of it was focused on the gospel. He showed his glory at that Mount of Transfiguration, and yet the greatest shining example of that light came later. Because from that mountain, after showing his glory as the Son of God, he sets his face resolutely at Golgotha. There, the Son of God himself would face the most unglorious of deaths. He was a criminal, and yet it could not be denied what happened there. In the midst of all of that darkness, even in the sky, the one man said, this was the Son of God. Jesus himself plunged himself into total darkness in our place. In the light of that gospel message has been given to you. It's been given through everything you hear here on Sunday mornings. Here on Sunday mornings, when you come in, we might as well hand you some sunglasses along with your bulletins. It gets so bright with the gospel in here. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. These words are written that you may believe. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. You've seen that glory. You've tasted it in the gospel. And now that you have that light, this is you. 500,000 watt. Now you reflect that light. That's what God has done for you. And so, with this light, we do what light is meant to do. We reveal it. We shine it on things. Those out there, the unbelievers, they're like this, walking around blind. Let's give them some light. You know somebody who needs the light of the gospel? Now that you're the light of Christ, and you can do that. You give them the light of that gospel. You reveal it. Don't reveal it. You and I know the light of that glory so well, and yet sometimes we get so numb to the gospel. It breaks through all of these veils, and yet sometimes we let the devil reveal our hearts. Oh, well, I'm forgiven. Well, awesome. Whew. Guess I don't have to worry about that darkness then. I guess I can live in it all I want. Sometimes mentally in worship here on Sunday mornings, we can go, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face. Oh, what's that? My Christian brother or sister needs help? I'm sorry, I had no idea. I guess I wasn't looking. I guess I was just focused on myself. Why reveal? Why reveal it? That's a path you don't want to be on. That's the unbelievers are there. They're perishing, Paul says. You don't want to be on that path. Those are habits you don't want to get into. Why reveal it with your worries and your doubts and your fears? Don't reveal it. Reveal it. God has made you this shining work light. So be that work light. And you can, because that's what God has made you to be. That light breaks down and breaks through every veil that the devil tries to put on your heart. So shine that light, reveal it. What does that look like? How do you shine the light of Christ in your life? Well, your friend needs help. You're the work light of Christ, so you're going to help him. Your spouse is overstressed and overworked and burdened. You're the light of Christ, so you can help shoulder that burden. You're getting bullied at school. Well, guess what? You're the light of Christ. You don't retaliate. You can bear it patiently and deal with it. We don't reveal the light of Christ. We reveal it. Somebody needs that gospel message. They're walking around. Maybe it's just blurry for them, or maybe they are in total darkness. You and I can shine the gospel by what we say. It's like beams of light coming from our mouths, too. Every time we speak the word, it's the same word Jesus spoke. You and I are not 40 watt, we're not 75 watt, we're not 500 watt, we are 500,000 watt. That's what we have, the knowledge of the light of the glory of Christ, and it's all to that glory. It's not to our glory. We do it, and we don't do it thinking of ourselves. It's His glory, we're just basking in it. It's His glory, we're just reflecting it. Man, to be there on that mountain and to see the light of Christ's glory shining bright like that, can you imagine? Yes, you can. Because that same glory shines in you. So reveal it? No. To darkness with you, devil. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. Please stand. Let us now confess the light of that glory according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Judy Washburn, Andrea Lucklean, Carrie Schwieger, Cynthia Rogers, Terry Jackson, who will be undergoing surgery this week, and Pamela Baker's mother, who is recovering from surgery, also Barbara Carpenter, who is recovering from surgery, and there's a man named Ashok. He taught at the seminary with us in India. He has a granddaughter who has an infection, and we're going to pray for her too. God of the world. We're going to pray in thanks of the anniversary of Rick and Diane Bishop celebrating 31 years of marriage. We'll also include a prayer for all of those celebrating birthdays. We pray the prayer of the church together. I will pray it, and then the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, light of the world, continue to shine on us and in us through your word. Forgive us for the times we let our hearts become partially veiled to your gospel and the responsibility we have to share it. Let us be ever thankful for your full forgiveness and motivate us to shine the light of your glory in all we do. Bless our efforts here at St. Mark's so that your grace may be revealed to all. Gracious Lord, be the refuge for all who are suffering from health challenges this week. Bless those who have upcoming surgeries or who are recovering from surgery. Give them all the hope through the suffering of your Son, Jesus, for our sins, which shows just how much you care for every one of us. Be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring them immense value to each new day. Lord, we thank you for the years of love you have given to those celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them reflect the unity you have with your church as they cherish the unity they have in their marriage. We pray all of these things as one mind and heart in the name of Jesus, your Son, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We join together in hymn 369 there in the red hymnal books, Beautiful Savior. Thank you. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord in glorious gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. We'll close with hymn 771 in your blue hymnal books in front of you. You may be seated. God is good. Good morning. I heard all the time. Good job. Yeah. Good morning once again. It was a fun time worshiping with you this morning. A few announcements for you. Bible study after the service here and between the services. Some more light of the gospel there. Also Sunday school for the kids that begins in the chapel at 9:15. I wanted to take a second. I forgot to get it in the weekly update this weekend, last week, but a big thank you real quick from Heather and I for everyone who gave to so that we can go to the retreat in mid-April. That means a lot to us, and our hearts are full because of it. So thank you very much. Heartfelt thank you. A big congregational meeting today after the second service. I'll just read what was in the weekly update. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss a recommendation to immediately begin a formal 2-year effort to reduce, if not eliminate, as God allows, our mortgage. So please stay for that. That's after the second service. Come back for that if you can. It's very important as we go forward here as a congregation. Midweek Lenten services will begin this week. Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday. There will be a meal at 5:30 each of the next number of Wednesdays, and the worship begins at 7 p.m. So 5:30 meal, 7 p.m. worship. Soiree tickets table is going to be in the lobby. If you wanted to get some tickets ahead of time for that, that'd be great. Also, we have Jim here who's going to share a message on behalf of the Board of Outreach. Go ahead.
Morning. Lord Jesus. Wow. I'm Jim with Board of Outreach. I've been blessed to work on the Going with the Gospel part of St. Mark's mission. And I should have a slide coming up. But what I'm here to talk to you about is we have a lot of big things coming up for our preparation for Easter. The first thing is on March 17th. Let's see. There we go. Saturday, March 17th, we're going to go out in the neighborhood again. We have 1,200 homes picked in Orangevale this time. Last year was our first year with this, and we trained around 60 people. We went out to about 1,800 homes in 2 different times. But we're going to go out. We're going to invite people for our second annual Easter egg hunt, which I'll have a slide on that. So that's that. There is a sign up in the back for that, so please join us on that. And if you're scared about going out in the neighborhoods with the gospel, we go out in twos. And you can come, and you cannot say a word. You can come with me or one of the other trained people and just support us and be there, and we'll reach all those homes. Everyone that's done it has been amazed at the joy you meet at those doors, how welcoming people are. It's really amazing. So we'll invite for the Easter egg hunt on those invitations. We'll need volunteers for that. There's a sign up for that as well. And donations, I think we have enough eggs from last year. We had thousands of plastic eggs. For donations, we'll just need small prizes and small candies to go in the eggs. And then it all leads up to Easter Sunday with our worship services, and we're going to have breakfast in the gym between all the services from 8 to 10:45. And then we're also going to help you all in do your Fran style, and not Fran Baker, but friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. We'll get you guys some pocket invites like we've been using, business card size invites to share with them. We'll probably put some little helps in the bulletin. And so we got a lot of fun coming up, big stuff. It's all a joy, and I hope to work with all of you on it. And so now watch the Wells Connection, and we'll see you later.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. The number of natural disasters in recent months seems to be more than in recent history. Earthquakes, floods, hurricanes have devastated parts of our own country, areas in the Caribbean, and in Mexico. When tragedies like that strike, it's easy to become and to feel overwhelmed. But there's 2 things we need to remember. First of all, our God is in control. Our future is in His hands. And He promises that He turns all things to the good of those who love Him. Secondly, we need to remember that tragedies like this are really an opportunity that God gives us, an opportunity to show love and support and help for those in need. Here's one look at a way in which you and I together are working to do just that.
In areas hit by natural disasters, Eventually, the floods recede, the winds die down, and the process of rebuilding lives begins. It's in these moments that Wells Christian Aid and Relief goes to work. In places like Texas and here in Florida, volunteers arrived all the way from Minnesota, ready to help with the effort.
We're here to help. I mean, God loved us, and we've got the, you know, the time and the talents that we can actually be able to take some vacation time and use the talents.
I can pull the truck down that way with the trailer on it.
Today's task, helping a widow with a storm-damaged tree. The equipment and trailer for this effort is provided by Wells Christian Aid and Relief, which helps coordinate these efforts around the country. The workers here are all volunteers, happy for the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people in need.
Since my husband died, it means a great deal. I am so grateful that they came out.
You know, for me, it's a deep experience of seeing God create an opportunity for His love to get into the lives of people. That gives me chills just thinking about it.
We have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers.
Each day begins with a devotion.
We are here on behalf of Christ.
Then the chainsaws start and the work continues. Helping people in need is a way of demonstrating our Christian love. For Wells Christian Aid and Relief, the work is always connected to outreach in one form or another. Here in Florida, young people from the local Wells school go door to door, asking if residents need help with storm cleanup and inviting them to church.
And we just go around helping people and cleaning
the yards. Yeah, we just clean the yards if you need help with the yards.
That's a great thing to do.
Wells President Mark Schrader came to Florida to show his support, underlining the bigger picture, that helping others in need is a natural response to God's love for us. And disasters are often a time when people realize the fragile nature of life and open up to Christian love and the gospel.
God's love is showing through these men. I mean, if people can do something like this for other people, it's just wonderful.
There is no better feeling than being involved in a project like this, helping somebody clean up a mess that they can't handle on their own, and sharing the love of Jesus wherever you go.
Wells Christian Aid and Relief is a conduit for all Wells members to follow that most basic teaching of Jesus, to love our neighbor.
Wells Christian Aid and Relief is dedicated to helping those in need. Thanks be to God for moving you to have so much compassion and love for people when they need it. And thanks be to Him for moving you to give generously of your gifts for that work. For more information on Wells Christian Aid and Relief, see the information on the website below.
Wells Christian Aid and Relief does a lot of great things, not just here in the States, but also worldwide. We got to witness it out and in the other countries as well. So thank you very much for your support of them. May God bless you with the light of His gospel throughout your week. You may stick around and greet one another. God bless you.